Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
What happened when Satan fell? What was his destiny? We've talked about that in the past. The only possible pleasure, if you want to call it that, that he can possibly gain is to gain such influence upon a human being that through their nature, through their flesh, he can participate in what they're doing, and that becomes his food. Think about that. Devil's trying to eat people for lunch. Okay? And I'll tell you, that's what's going on in this world. The devil is seeking something where he can feed that nature of his, that evil nature. Think about the man that Jesus talked about on one occasion. We talked about the man out of whom, you know, a spirit left. Spirit went away. And he went into what he called dry places. And what was he seeking? Seeking rest. Did he find it? No. There's no way for a demon to find any kind of satisfaction anywhere else except through human beings. And so what he did eventually was to say, he went back to check out the house, the body of the man that he had lived in. Well, he found it empty. It's a dangerous thing just to get devils out but not get Christ in. All right? So this man was still empty. So what did he do? He went and he got seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they went in there and lived, and the last state of the man was worse than at the beginning. So now instead of a man and one demon, he's got a man and nine demons, or eight demons, whatever it is. All those personalities living, inhabiting that same. You wonder where all these multiple personalities come from? They're real. You know, like we pointed out recently in a message we heard, when the Lord talked to that man who'd come out of the tombs, what is your name? Well, there was only one spirit literally talking through that man, but it was obvious that he was not the only one there, because when Jesus said, what is your name, singular, he said, legion, for we are many. So he was speaking on behalf of all the other inhabitants. Folks, this is the world you live in. We need to be aware of it. Okay? And you can go on and on and on talking about the effects of spirits and all of that. But I'm more interested in how this affects us. And the Lord's kind of gotten my attention with some of the scriptures that we read, and this is one of them, obviously. But the Lord will say something like, resist the devil, and he will flee from you, and so forth. He doesn't say resist the bad thought. Doesn't say resist your nature. Obviously, those things are involved. But the focus is not on all the things that we would like to focus on and just forget all that demon stuff. That's just scary. By the way, the Lord is not talking about this to scare anybody. The fact that he has to sneak around to do his dirty work should tell us that we're the ones in the position of power, that we have a choice, and especially if he has delivered us from that power and brought us into the kingdom of his son he loves. Okay? So there is no reason for anyone to be afraid like there's a monster. Okay? So let's just put that aside. But the Lord does want us to understand in a deeper way than we do. And I just want to throw this all out here today and pray that God will bring us to a deeper level of freedom. Because I believe with all my heart that many of the needs, if not most of them, that people come for, and what's, you know, there's a problem in my life, there's a bondage, there's this, there's that. Where's that coming from? And it's awful easy to say, well, that's just my human nature, that's just this, that's just habit of thinking, that's just, and all those things are involved, but they are more symptoms of an influence. Because the devil knows he cannot take us and steal us from Christ. If you've really been born and he lives in you, he can't steal you and destroy you. Thank God. But he can sure do a lot of bondage. You know, I was at one point when I was thinking about all this, I was picturing a scene. Many of you have probably at some time in your life seen a movie version of Dickens' Christmas Carol. And you remember the scene near the beginning where Marley's ghost appears to Scrooge? What's the scene? How is that depicted? He's this ghostly figure, first of all, but he has chains all over him. Oh, these are the chains I forged in life. Well, it's kind of amusing in a way, the way it's portrayed, but isn't there something real about that? The devil would like to put chains on every one of us to the extent that he can. And I fear that more of the time than we realize, there are chains. The things about which we struggle. We might need to go back a little deeper than we sometimes go. It's not a better formula. It's more than just information. There has to come a time when God's power comes into play to set us free from something that is a power that's come against us. This is not just some fantasy, folks. Do you believe this stuff is real? Do you believe there are literal spirits that study you and me looking for opportunities? And I wonder how many times the opportunities are there because we've been born into a family, a context of some kind, and they have weaknesses. They have chains in their lives. And there's an effect. They have an opportunity right there to affect children that come into that environment. And so they're just programmed from youth with certain limitations, certain weaknesses, certain opportunities for the devil to hinder them. Just because he can't steal your soul and come in and all of that doesn't mean he can't attach chains. And God wants every one of us to come to that place where we recognize the chains that have bound us and where they come from. You know, one thing comes to mind, and it certainly doesn't affects a lot of people. So I'm not just thinking about any one place or person. But think about something like unforgiveness. The devil loves to promote a culture where if somebody does something wrong to me, the way I look at it is they're in the wrong, I'm right. And the only way we're going to get over that is for them to humble themselves, come to me and admit that they were wrong and ask for my forgiveness, and then I'll consider it. And you can have whole cultures in families and groups that come from that mistaken idea. Where does that come from? It certainly comes from Satan and his kingdom. There were literal spirits that went to work, maybe on grandpa and grandma, great-grandpa and grandma, way back. And there's a culture, there's a spiritual culture that has been handed down. And people are born into it. There's a lot of the stuff that afflicts our lives, we don't even aware of it. That's the whole point. The devil hides what he's doing. He'll send a friend, so-called, into your life. And you don't realize what's really motivating. There's something in control. There's a degree of motivation there. And they'll pretend to be your friend. But they'll influence you. We can do this and it'll be okay. You can think this way. You can think that way. Look at our culture. It is devoted to totally programming people's minds in ways that are absolutely anti-Christian, anti-Christ. And God wants us to be a lot more aware than we are. And it's not just aware in the sense of, well, I see what's wrong with them. I see what's wrong. We need to be able to get to the point where we look in the mirror and say, God, why is this the case in my life? What's going on? I need you to do something for me that's never happened. I need you to open my eyes because I need to be free. If we can't be free ourselves, how can we help other people? We don't need just better sermons and better information. I need Christ. I need His power to come in because there is no way. Let's suppose that I have allowed. Well, I don't have to suppose. There are areas where I know I have a need and I know God's opening my eyes to see them and see it in a deeper way. Things that have bugged me and gotten in my way over all my life. But He's helping me to recognize where that came from. Here's the thing. If the devil gets any kind of degree of influence over your heart and your life, he can only do that if he can get you to agree with him. Now, that may be ignorance. It may be just weakness. And he hides behind every kind of facade you can think of. But the reality is, if there is a hold in your life, at some point you opened the door and gave him permission. Now, here's another illustration that came to my mind. We know something on the human level about criminal gangs. And let's suppose that you're living in an area ruled by criminal gangs. I mean, Mexico comes to mind, but it's certainly not limited to them. There are some of them that rule in parts of cities too. But a criminal gang, obviously they rule by fear and force, don't they? But just suppose under some kind of a circumstance, somebody from one of those gangs comes to your property and needs a room. Anytime I'm in this area, I need a place. And you let them in. How do you think you're going to get them out? Not at all. Without a lot more force than they got. That's the way it is. If the devil ever gets any kind of a place of influence in your heart and your life, you will never, ever get that out by your own power. I don't care how many spiritual formulas you come up with. There is only one thing, and it's the power that he's talking about here. We're going to have God's mighty power. And we're going to have to come to be honest with the thing. We can't say, oh, Lord, I got this terrible influence in my life. What's going on? Why am I in bondage in this area? Oh, God, break that hold. Well, you gave the devil permission to be in there in the first place. Think about the criminal gang. You opened the door. He claims that as his property, and he's not going unless he is forced to leave. Not one of us has the power to force him to leave. What God wants us to do in a deeper way is for him to open up our eyes to see why things are the way they are. To be able even to go back in time and say, Lord, show me where did this get started? Why is it this way?
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.